In America, you have a right to be stupid.
I mean, I do think at a certain point you've made enough money.
$100 billion, $1 trillion.
Come on!
If you got a business, you didn't build that. Somebody else made that happen.
Listen to reason.
We're lending money we don't have to kids who will never be able to pay it back, to train them for jobs that don't exist anymore.
My faith has really allowed me to overcome a lot of things and hard work. You know, nothing comes easy.
We're so focused on getting into the corner office, we forgot how to build a corner office.
There's a clear cause and effect here that is as neat and predictable as a law of physics. As government expands, liberty contracts.
Finding real answers to form real solutions for a better America. KLZ 560 presents Rush to Reason. Here's your host, John Rush.
Happy Monday, everybody. I am your host, John Rush, Rush to Reason, KLZ 560. Beautiful day today, although that may be changing tonight into tomorrow, but we are getting more and more into spring as each day passes. As you all know, in Colorado, it can change even in the middle of summer, so this is Colorado. Impossible question of the day. You can answer this on the KLZ 560 Facebook page. 17% of people will do this while on vacation. And here's some hints. Pet parents, money. I don't get the pet parents part. Maybe there's supposed to be a comma there. Pet parents, money. 17% of people will do this while on vacation. What is it? Oh, Charlie says skinny dip. Ooh, not bad. Charlie, 17%, pretty good. Yeah, 20%. People getting away, getting out of their system. Honestly, folks, I have no idea. Everybody does so many different things now that, I don't know. And this is not a high number, so I'm sure the answer is going to be some obscure thing I never would have thought of, but get your answers out on the KLZ 560 Facebook page today on the show. Jarrett Stepman will join us, and we'll talk about Congress and D.C. wanting to be its own state. We'll talk about that with him today. I've got other things this hour as well. Drew Allen will join us at 4 o'clock about Vice President Harris making false gun claims and, you know, of course, pushing the gun control narrative like she is. Richard Rush, of course, will join me at 4:30 like he always does. And then at 5 o'clock, I don't really have anybody. Our guest that was supposed to be with us today is postponed until next Monday. I'm going to talk about Biden's new inheritance proposal when it comes to taxes, inheritance tax proposal. And then again, we'll talk more about just the assault weapons proposed bans that are making their way around the country, including here in Colorado. I want to talk about grocery workers. And as I have time, I'd really like to talk about homeless encampments. And I don't know whether the rest of you have noticed this as much as I, but there are very few areas around our freeways, and I'm not sure why the freeways have now become the homeless encampment magnet. So, you know, where the homeless congregate and put all of their junk up, and why we can't do anything about that. I looking at some of these and where they're located, there's a big, huge one off of the ramp from I-25 heading northbound off of I-76. And why we can't do something about that, to me, they look like the most unhealthy, unsterile area you could ever imagine. To me, it's just one big pile of garbage that people are living inside of. And why we cannot clean that up and keep it from happening again, I'm dumbfounded. I guess as a state, cities, counties, and so on, I guess it's just not a high priority. I don't understand. But anyways, there's a lot of things I don't understand. The big ship, the Evergreen ship, I believe it's called, that was stuck in the canal, the Suez Canal, is now free. I believe it's finally made its way through the canal, or at least is on its way through. Last I checked, there was some 400-plus ships lined up outside the canal to go through the canal. And I assume those will now start making their way through one by one. I don't know anything about how that part of the country, that part of the world and that country works. What I do find interesting is, and I guess because of the expense of building another one, there was at one point in time a proposal to take a canal from sea to sea through the Israeli area, through Israel's area. I don't think that ever got done. Why we don't have two canals over there, I guess, you know, look at the Panama Canal, for example, they are adding other locks. In fact, I think those are now done. So there's more than one way through the Panama Canal. Why there's not more than one way through the Suez Canal, I find that really sort of, when you think about the security side of the fence, alarming that we don't have another way to get freight through that part of the world. I believe I read, and Charlie, you could correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe it's a 14,000-mile trip if you go around the continent of Africa instead of going up through the canal. 14,000-mile trip. So think about how long that would take versus going through the canal. But again, why we don't have more than one way through there looks to me like all some terrorist group needs to do is blow up a portion of that canal or somehow, you know, cause a big delay like we just went through. And all of a sudden, a lot of goods and services that would normally, goods, I should say, that would roll through that canal are now blocked up. There have been those stating, I don't know if this will come true or not, although I was prepared over the weekend and went and bought extra of coffee, paper goods, and so on. They claim that there will be a shortage in the not-too-distant future of toilet paper, paper towels, coffee, you know, things along those lines that normally make their way through the canal. And it's not the paper goods themselves, it's the pulp, I believe, that is transported through the canal that then gets processed into paper towels and toilet paper that there may be a shortage of. So you may not notice this right away. I'm not saying you need to go out tomorrow and buy a bunch, but if it's anything like it was during COVID this time last year, it might not be a bad idea. So something to think about. In other news, I don't know how much of news this really is, but along the same time last year, everybody was watching Tiger King with Joe Exotic. Well, poor Joe can't get a break. Even now, his male husband is filing for divorce. So Joe just can't get a break. So the Tiger King star was quoted as saying that his husband announced Friday in an Instagram post that he's divorcing him. And I think Joe said something along the lines is all he really wants is someone to pay attention to him and love him for who he is. All he ever wanted was someone to mean something to someone. Is that too much to ask, he says. Do you feel sorry for Joe or not? I often wonder, is the wrong guy in jail? I mean, I realize they went through everything and figured out some of the things that happened, and that's why Joe's in jail. But why is Carol Baskin not running around? I think that's the question most people have. How far did she go, Charlie, by the way, in Dancing with the Stars? Did she make it very far? I don't remember. Charlie says 3 or 4 weeks, or 2 or 3 weeks. I don't remember. I don't know. But that's a whole nother conversation probably for another day. Something else Charlie sent me, which I thought was interesting. Not in my notes, but I'll talk about it anyways. Volkswagen, which it's a Volkswagen, V-O-L-K, that's how you say it. We have, a lot of us in the United States of America have always said almost Volkswagen. Well, guess what they're now going to call the U.S. division of Volkswagen? It will now be Volkswagen, as in V-O-L-T-S, Volkswagen, i.e. the electrification that Volkswagen will be moving forward with on a lot of their vehicles here in the U.S. I believe there's even a Volkswagen van like the old days, the old vans. I think there's an electric-powered van in the works that they are going to be releasing in the not-too-distant future, but it will now be called in America Volkswagen of America. So that's going to be their name of their new U.S. operation division. They're renaming it to Volkswagen. So there you have it. That's a little bit of news for you here on this Monday. We'll come back. I got some other things in store for you before Jarrett joins us. And you all saw today probably where Governor Polis announced that I believe by Friday, it's either Thursday or Friday, the 1st or the 2nd, if you're in the living in Colorado, I think anybody will be eligible for the vaccine if you so want to take one. Somebody can have mine. I don't plan on it. I know others feel the same way as I. It'll be interesting to see how many people actually get vaccinated once that opens up. But again, we'll come back, talk more about that. In the meantime, Golden Eagle Financial is up next. And Al would love to help you with your financial future. And I said earlier, I'm going to talk about later in the program, inheritance tax, and things along those lines. Al can help you with how to plan for the future, where to invest, how to invest, how to make all that happen, and it's easy. Just give him a call, 303-744-1128, or again, find him on our website, which is where all of our sponsors are, at klzradio.com.
You can breathe easy, knowing you'll have enough money to live comfortably in retirement. Now you have the luxury of deciding how you'll spend that money to make it work even harder for you. Al Smith of Golden Eagle Financial will help you create a plan to minimize taxes and fees so your savings last. Before you stop contributing to your 401k or IRA and start taking distributions, you'll want to have a plan in place to make certain your money will help you achieve your goals. If you should need long-term care at some point, you'll want to make sure your kids get a break. Al Smith will show you how to set up supplemental coverage so your kids have some help, and it's already paid for. It's time to shift your focus from wealth accumulation to wealth preservation with KLZ's Retirement Planning Specialist. Set up a free consultation with Al Smith now at klzradio.com/money. Advisory services offered through Foundations Investment Advisors, an SEC-registered investment advisor.
Barber's Foods, and folks, if you want the best meat you'll ever eat, taste, and I mean that sincerely, that's Barber's Foods. It doesn't matter whether you're talking about their Wagyu, whether it's regular beef, bison, their pork or pig, bacon, you name it, they've got it all, and also poultry. And I should say this more often than I do. If there's something that you want that you do not see listed on their website, they can get it. Keep in mind, they provide, you know, cuts of meat to literally almost every single walk of life, whether it's somebody that just wants to have a big, huge barbecue cookout or a high-end restaurant. They do it all. They can get any cut of meat you want. So if it's not listed there, call them on the phone. And trust me, I can say this from experience, they'll get you whatever you need. Again, it's barbersfoods.com. Two S's, barbersfoods.com.
Barber's Foods has been selling only the highest quality organic, antibiotic-free, and natural food products in Colorado for over 70 years. Their mission is to provide only the best food found in the marketplace from family farms they know personally. Right now, click on March Madness Specials at the top of barbersfoods.com to find these specials and more. Barber's Farms, ground beef, made in Colorado, from Colorado raised beef in 1-pound packages, only $2.99 a pound. Thunder's Catch Alaskan Salmon, whole fillets on sale in March for only $12.49 a pound. And pre-order your Beeler's Duroc non-GMO spiral ham before Easter. Don't spend $100 or more for a spiral ham from a retail outlet. Buy wholesale and get a better ham at a better price from a family farm that Barber's Foods knows personally. Place your order today at barbersfoods.com.
God. Country. Reason. Now back to John Rush.
All right, one other thing that we will talk about with my son Richard as we get into the 4 o'clock hour, as well as, of course, March Madness, and that is a trademark term, but we can use it in this context easily. It's just like the Super Bowl. You cannot use it if you're an advertiser making money off of that term. We can talk about it just because it's a news thing. And I did not keep track over the weekend who did what. My son Richard, I'm sure, did. I do know that on Friday, I read an article. I'll talk to Richard about this a little later, about Oral Roberts University. Of course, they've been sort of that Cinderella story going through March Madness. I will have to look and see where they, you know, how they did over the weekend. I apologize. I was busy doing other things this weekend, and I did not look. I will say this, though. On Friday, the amount of vitriol coming out against Oral Roberts University from the left was absolutely disgusting. Absolutely disgusting. It looks like they did lose on Saturday, 70-72 against Arkansas. So, you know, they did really well, though, I want to say, through that end of things. So, you know, good job. And I don't care what the left says about Oral Roberts University. I'll talk to Richard a little bit more about that. But, you know, the left, for being this all-inclusive, patient, accepting, you know, looking the other way, and wanting to include everyone, they are a bunch of flat-out liars, stone-faced liars. They are not accepting of anyone that doesn't fit their mantra and how they feel about things. Case in point, Oral Roberts being the Cinderella story in the NCAA tournament this year. So, again, we'll talk more about that with Richard and get his view on that. Also, in other news, which I think this is good news, Southwest Airlines, ordered 100 new 737 MAX airplanes. So Southwest must be looking at the future of air travel a little differently than probably most are, to order 100 new jets. Granted, in their fleet, that's probably not a large number of jets. I don't know what their total number is, but that's substantial. And granted, that doesn't come all at one time. That's a order that will take years for Boeing to fulfill for Southwest. But Southwest must see something down the road in air travel, which, you know what? Great. I really hope and pray that they're correct, because that's what we need when it comes to getting the economy back on track and so on. Over the weekend, also on Saturday, Andy and I talked about this on Friday, the GOP elections for who would be the next chair and, of course, vice chair and so on. That was on Saturday. Christy Burton Brown became the new Colorado GOP chair and vows to bring a new generation of leadership. We will see what that means, how that works, and do our best to get her on and talk about that and even things down the road. I believe the VP is also another lady. So as far as I know, the entire three-person, you know, GOP leadership team are all now ladies. So ladies, best of luck. We'll see how things go moving forward, and I hope everybody can get on board and make some of the changes here in the state of Colorado that need made when it comes to how we run things. And we will see. Time will tell. And by the way, that is not the way I felt on Friday things would go. So congratulations, Christy. You did a good job. And we will see what happens moving forward in that area. And again, Andy and I will do our best to get her on when Andy and I both are here at the same time. So I want to talk coronavirus. I know we talk about this a lot and have over the course of the past year. In fact, I was looking at notes from a year ago, April. And it's actually quite amazing and quite sad at the same time that a lot about what we're talking about now are the same things we were talking about a year ago. I don't think anybody predicted we would be talking about this stuff a year later, having some of the same shutdowns, having some of the same issues economically that we're now having a year ago. The WHO, by the way, the WHO, reported over the weekend that COVID likely jumped from humans or jumped to humans from animals. Now, I don't believe that. We've even seen the ex-CDC director come out and say, nope, he believes that this was actually made in a lab, whether it was released on accident or on purpose. He believes it came out of a lab, that this did not jump from humans or from animals to humans. But yet the WHO in Geneva came out and said over the weekend that, in fact, they feel like it came from bats to humans through some other animal. It's the most likely scenario, and that a lab leak is extremely unlikely. By the way, this is the same organization funded by a lot of the communist regimes around the world. I have no faith in the World Health Organization whatsoever, and I was on Trump's side, I should say, when it came to going against them and even not sending them the funding as a nation that we typically do, because I don't feel like they're of any use to us whatsoever. I'll be honest with you. I think it's ran by not only a bunch of crackpots, but a bunch of slick shysters that have an agenda that could care less about anybody being free in the entire world. And they have not a hidden agenda. They have a very outward agenda, if you would. And that is to carry out the UN's orders on a lot of things that, frankly, I and others listening right now do not believe in. So I am not a fan of the WHO. You guys all know that from a year ago. They've done nothing, in my opinion, when it comes to what's happened with COVID around the world. In fact, I will go as far as to say they have been one of the hindrances when it comes to COVID and getting things back on track in the right manner. So to top that off, though, we now have our own new CDC director warning that the recent trajectory here in the U.S. is similar to what European countries are going through now. And she is basically worried that we will have the same type of a re-outbreak that they've got overseas, and it would be a fourth surge. Keep in mind, folks, and I've said this all along, there is a huge difference between reported cases and deaths of COVID. In fact, deaths of COVID only are still very minuscule. 1.5%. If you even that's factoring all deaths, by the way, in. If you take out those that are COVID only, it's far less than that. So we now have, of course, a new CDC director under President Joe Biden. And that person, Walensky, is explaining that the 7-day average for new coronavirus cases, by the way, new cases, is up 10%. And what I would say is big deal. Big deal. And we do not want to do any more shutdowns or go backwards on reopening the economy in all of the states that it's now open again in, including here in Colorado. This person, or she says, I should quote her, which I am. I know what it's like as a physician to stand in that patient room, gowned, gloved, mask shielded, and to be the last person to touch someone else's loved one because their loved one couldn't be there. Well, why aren't they there? Because of your stupid rules, that's why. Because we have things so locked down when it comes to the hospital clinic side of the fence that no person can be in the room when we have people dying. Dumb, by the way. It's actually criminal as far as I'm concerned. It's not only sad, it's criminal. We have people dying alone for no reason whatsoever, other than we have the bubble-wrapped Karens that feel like the entire world should be bubble-wrapped running things. And we now have somebody in charge of the CDC that's very much the same way. Not that they haven't been in the past, but this one's worse than the last one we had. And again, folks, I'm going to tell you, I don't care that cases are up 10% across the board in the U.S. Big deal. Those are cases. We don't care. I don't care. As long as we're protecting the most vulnerable, I don't care what cases are. I would say the same thing here in Colorado. I don't care what the case numbers are, what the caseload is. I care about hospitalizations and deaths, which, by the way, in Colorado are still very, very low. Us, as a state, even penalizing those counties that are maybe the blue or you know, one of the lesser restrictive colors now on the new COVID 3.0 chart. If all of a sudden they see their numbers rise ever so slightly, we move their color. Well, again, cases are not the same as hospitalizations or deaths. Why are we not using those numbers instead of cases? Because as I've been saying for the last year now, 12 months solid, we're not doing this correctly. We have the wrong people in charge. We're focused on the wrong things. And these people could care less about the economy. I'm actually, honestly, folks, I'm tired of talking about it. I really felt like a year later, this would not be coming up in conversation, especially here on air, but it is. Why? Because some of these people just will not let it go, period. They thrive on it. It drives them. It drives all of their decision making. And unfortunately, it's driving a lot of the policies that we have in a lot of areas of the country. Not all areas of the country, luckily, but a lot of areas. Here in Colorado, I guess we'll see what, you know, Kevin Polis does moving forward when it comes to some of what's going on in the state. As we open things up and people start to move around more, do not be surprised if we see a surge in cases. It's fine, folks. We'll be okay. I've said this before, and I will continue to say it. The numbers, if you go look at the data, including, I believe, the inflated numbers of COVID deaths, because if you look at COVID-only deaths, they're much less. But let's just take all of the deaths combined and look at the data. You will see, by looking at that data, this is a lot to do about nothing. We don't even have a pandemic. A pandemic includes a high death rate. We don't have that, folks. Anybody that tells you otherwise hasn't looked at the data. So we'll go to Jared Stepman in a moment, come back, talk about D.C. becoming a state. And I may come back to this in a moment as well. But don't let those folks that are out there convince you otherwise. We do not have huge problems right now when it comes to coronavirus. The vaccine, if you want to get it, is available. It'll be available even in Colorado to everybody that wants it. Uncle Joe says that 200 million people will be vaccinated in the next, you know, month or so, which, by the way, I don't care. If you want to get vaccinated, feel free. I'm not. A lot of you maybe. It's a personal choice as far as I'm concerned. I'm not going to tell you to do it or not to do it, but I'm not. American National Insurance is coming up next. Paul Leuenberger, talked to Paul over the weekend, by the way, and he would love to help you out with all of your insurance needs, whatever they are. He'll give you a free quote. He'll go through some of the things we talk about here on a routine basis, including roof coverage and things along those lines. But make sure you're properly insured. We talked about this in depth on Fix It Radio on Saturday. With the increased cost of lumber and other things, if you had to go and rebuild your home today because of a huge catastrophic loss, could you? Ask Paul and have him review that for you. 303-662-0789.
Paul Leuenberger with American National Insurance offers a rebate program unlike any other. Every year that you don't file a claim, you get a certain percentage of your money back. Just one example of how Paul Leuenberger, the personal insurance agent of John Rush, keeps your rates so low. He rewards his customers for their diligence and responsibility. Paul can also help you strategize about when to file a claim and when to pay out of pocket so you save more money in the long run. You don't want to shop online for insurance because you have no idea what you're buying. You need Paul Leuenberger with American National, the no surprises insurance agent. Call 303-662-0789. That's 303-662-0789 and ask Paul Leuenberger with American National Insurance for details about his unique rebate program for home and auto insurance. Talk to somebody with the expertise to advise you so you get the coverage you expect.
Folks, one of the greatest inventions and came along in the early 70s was the ability to fix auto glass. You get a pit, a crack, a chip, something like that, and instead of replacing the entire windshield, which back when I was a kid, that's what you did. In the early 70s, they started the process, perfected it by probably the late 70s, and today it is one of the leading things that can be done to make sure that your windshield doesn't get replaced when it's just got a small pit or crack, and that's Novus Autoglass. In fact, they were one of the innovators and leaders in that technology. They still are. And keep in mind, as windshields change as time goes by, so does the technology behind the repair. That's true for Novus. So they lead that technology. Novus means Latin. It is Latin, I should say, for innovate. They work with all the insurance companies, whether it's a repair or a replacement. Find a location near you. Go to rushtoreason.com/Novus. And Novus, again, is spelled N-O-V-U-S.
Take control of the process with Novus Autoglass. Insurance companies want you to use one of their recommended shops so they get a discount. John Rush endorses Novus Autoglass because he trusts the quality of their work. In today's modern car, your windshield has become a structural component of your vehicle. Unlike in classic cars, where your windshield was just something to look through, today's windshields bear pressure as part of the frame. Your windshield has become a safety feature of your vehicle, so quality repairs matter. With every repair or replacement, Novus Autoglass records detailed specs, including the temperature outside, the serial number of the vehicle, and the type of urethane they use, so you can have confidence that your windshield won't pop out at the wrong moment. Instead of letting your insurance company choose the cheapest option, take control of the quality with the inventors of windshield repair. Find Novus Autoglass now at rushtoreason.com.
All right, I said earlier that some things might be changing in regards to President Biden's new tax plans, and some of those would even include a change in inheritance tax. Get with Michael Bailey to make sure that everything you have is protected accordingly. He can do that for you. That's his specialty. That's what he does. Find him at klzradio.com or 720-394-6887.
KLZ's mobile estate planner doesn't exclusively talk about death and dying. He also wants to help you plan for the rest of your life. Your estate plan with Michael Bailey Law protects you and your loved ones during your lifetime by establishing a medical power of attorney and a financial power of attorney now, while you still have all of your mental and physical capacities. That way, you and your family never need to go through the painful experience of trying to make those decisions during a crisis. Set up a free consultation with Michael Bailey now at klzradio.com/estate.
It's Holy Week. Kim Munson here. Tuesday, Jen Zier and founder of Patriotic Bible Study, Chris Tubbs, joins me. He's blazing new ground in helping young men and women understand our foundational principles and faith. Plus, Democrats want to kill the filibuster in order to secure their legislative wish list. Taxpayers Protection Alliance President David Williams explains that killing the filibuster would have irreparable negative effects on our country. Chris Cantwell with Trans World Business Advisors shares thoughts on his favorite charity. That's Tuesday, 6 to 7 a.m., 1 to 2 p.m., again 10 to 11 p.m., right here on KLZ 560 and KLZ 100.7 FM.
Tired of the corporate rat race? Time to retire? Call Chris Cantwell at Transworld Business Advisors to buy or sell your business. Find Chris Cantwell at KimMunson.com. That's Kim, MONSON.com.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Jarrett Stedman will be joining us here in just one moment. Also, and I have not talked much about this, and probably won't. I mean, this is going to be, you know, front page news every day now as this trial continues to go on with Derek Chauvin with the George Floyd case. I don't need to talk about that. Any of you that want to know about that can read it. And again, this is going to go on for quite some time. And it's anybody's guess as to how it's going to turn out. I have no predictions one way or the other. I'm sure as we start going through the trial more and more, I'll have special guests on to talk about that. But at this point, just follow along, and I will talk about it some, but it's not going to be front and center for us at all. Jarrett Stedman joining us, Daily Signal. Jarrett, how are you today, sir?
I'm doing quite well, thank you.
So I saw pictures over the weekend, and you guys are like in full bloom right now with your cherry blossoms.
Yeah, Washington.
We're jealous.
Definitely, this is peak time for cherry blossoms. It's just it's quite sad that the National Park Service decided to essentially block off large parts of the tidal basin.
Yeah, I saw that. What's the deal there, Jarrett? Why did they do that?
Well, I mean, they're essentially saying that because of the continual problem with the COVID-19 coronavirus, that having large crowds gather there is problematic, so they're cutting off large sections of the tidal basin, which I think is absolutely outrageous. I think a lot of the outdoor restrictions that we've had since the beginning of this thing have not been based on science. That I think, especially, you know, look, people need to get outside right now, and I don't think that restricting people from gathering here to look at something outside is really helping in any sense. I think it's, to a certain extent, you know, just trying to calm and comfort people, especially the bureaucrats, the National Park Service. But it is very upsetting, and it's too bad that this year, especially after this entire year that, you know, people have had to be locked down, the problems that Washington, D.C. has had, the country has had, the people can't go out there and look at the blossoms in peak bloom. It's really it's upsetting to me.
And by the way, I agree, and I talked about that a moment ago, even before you came on, when it comes to, you know, even our new CDC director talking about, you know, hey, we might be in for our fourth surge. You know, cases are up 10%. And, Jarrett, I've been saying this now for a solid year. I'm not trying to be, you know, rude to anybody, but I don't care about cases. I care about, you know, hardcore ICU hospitalizations and deaths. I really don't care about cases, because there's tons and tons of people that are going to get the, you know, going to get it, have very mild symptoms and not have any issues. So I don't care about positive cases. It's not a number. I'm not sure we should be tracking it.
Yeah, and I think, you know, that kind of rhetoric, the words used was, I feel, impending doom before us. So I feel was somewhat irresponsible. I think it was quite irresponsible to say, especially as we are on the cusp of achieving some kind of herd immunity. We have a vaccine rollouts going on in many states across the country that are going quite well. We have a lot of states that there isn't even an uptick in cases right now.
Right.
I mean, I think that's one of the misleading parts about this. I mean, there's been so many attacks, especially in the state of Florida, which has been more open than other states, where there really hasn't been any uptick at all in the number of cases. So in some of the places where they say there has been, it's places like New York City and New Jersey is where the uptick is, places that lock down very much stringently. So I don't like that kind of rhetoric. I think a lot of this keeps people in a state of fear. I think we should be very much hopeful about the American way of life opening back up again. I think it, in many ways it should have been already. But I don't like this rhetoric, and I think this keeps people in a state of fear and panic that is completely and utterly unnecessary.
I agree. Talk to us about D.C., though. Something that this is an alarm for us as conservatives, or at least it should be. We're sounding the alarm. D.C. becoming its own state. We've talked a little bit about it in the past, but is it getting closer? What's happening in that regard?
Well, it is getting closer because Democrats in Congress are trying to push this through. They're trying to get this through legislation. There's been a long-term argument that the city of Washington, D.C. should be a state, even though it would be one of the tiniest states in the country if you just made the city into a state. And look, behind this effort, they say that this is about enfranchising the voters who don't get to, don't have senators, who don't have representation in national politics. I think the idea that Washington, D.C. doesn't have enough power in national affairs is pretty laughable, all considering. Really what's behind this is including two more senators who would be certainly Democrats. The city is about 95% right. Democrat, which I think is ultimately where this comes
from. That's the goal, right?
That is the goal with this. I don't think there's any reason, and the founders, in fact, even set up in the Constitution a very clear set of guidelines for creation of a federal district that would be apart from state government. They had concerns of placing our federal government within the limits of a state. There were some issues in 1783 where the state basically didn't call the militia to defend the national government. So they wanted to create a federal district that could operate under the care of Congress. Ultimately, Congress would have the say over its function. And frankly, the actions and attitudes of Washington, D.C., the government there, I think is a pretty good justification for not making them a state. I mean, I've lived in Washington, D.C. for a long time. I've seen how the government there that has a certain amount, they have home rule now under an act of Congress, has not exactly covered itself in glory and how it's run itself. The idea that it will somehow be better if it's turned into a state and given two more senators, I think is ridiculous. And, of course, again, a lot of it's just simply about a power grab, adding two more Democrat senators. And, you know, who knows what the response will be after that. And so it's both unconstitutional. I think that it violates the strict doctrines of the Constitution. And I think it doesn't make sense politically for the country.
When we talk about, you know, because those of us in the West, I mean, you see this because you're there. You know, you guys that are close to this understand this far better than we do. Those of us that are really, in a lot of ways, and I think the rest of the country is removed from D.C., those of us that live out west, you know, we're removed from that. We have no idea the amount of area you're talking. Could you clue us in on what really kind of an area we're talking about when it comes to D.C.?
Well, it's a very small location. I mean, as a city, it's not particularly big. I mean, it's large in the sense that there are 700,000 people living in Washington, D.C. proper. But when you compare this to the size of many states, you know, that's not a lot of people.
No.
It's interesting. The same people arguing for this are also the ones who say that the Electoral College is fundamentally unfair, and yet they want to add another small state to the union. And it's very obvious the reason why. And so, you know, this idea that Washington, D.C. just doesn't have enough power, that it's not fair. I mean, D.C. has the highest median per capita wages and salaries in the whole country. I mean, this is one of the richest parts of the entire country, especially the outlying areas in Northern Virginia are extraordinarily rich. I mean, there's a huge benefit, as I think many of your listeners will well know, to being close to the center of power, to the center of Washington, D.C. And so this idea that they've been treated badly, that it's unfair, that they don't have...
No, I'd say it's actually the opposite.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's the opposite. In fact, isn't that one of the arguments, Jared? Some of the things that I've read, and knowing that we were going to talk about this today, some of the things that I read about, actually, it's the opposite. In fact, wouldn't D.C., if they were a state, have really an unfair advantage and end up with things most other states would probably only dream of getting?
That's absolutely right. I mean, that's what's so outrageous about this. There are already so many advantages to being close to that center of power. Not only the lobbying advantages, not only, of course, you know, because of the centralization and the kind of destruction, I think, of federalism in this country, D.C. has only grown in power since the beginning of the Republic. And I think that's a problem in and of itself. I think the fact that D.C. is so powerful now that it wasn't 100 years ago has become a big problem. I think it shows that problem. Making it a state and giving it the power of the state, giving it additional powers, and undermining the very intention of having a federal district, I think is bad for the country as a whole. Now, maybe there are some in Washington, D.C. who are excited about the fact that, well, hey, we'll get two more senators, and most are Democrats, and say, well, it'll benefit
right.
us. But to the whole country, it doesn't make any sense. And I think that's why ultimately it will be shot down. I don't think it's constitutional, and I think that's why they kind of struggled to get a lot of steam behind this, because while it's very partisan, this issue, while many Democrats have pushed this for a long time, I think if you ask people, especially in Western states, you think the nation's capital should itself become a state, and people scratch their head and say, well, why would it have to be?
Yeah, and I think for those of us that live west, you know, live out west, I really, that's exactly the way, and again, I don't know that it really would matter what side of the aisle, other than if you understood the political ramifications some may be for it. But if you look at it purely on the, you know, the nonpartisan, should it be a state, should it not be a state, not in regard to the political power it would give those that are in power now. If you just look at it for what it is, I think most people would say no, they don't need to be a state. They would have unfair advantages as a state over a lot of other states, and it's just, you know, it's not the right way to do things, and it goes back to what you said a moment ago, even our founding fathers, which they were, by the way, guys were very, very brilliant and had a lot of insight into things, even looking down the road some 200 plus years later. You know, these guys weren't stupid, Jarrett. They were the smartest of the smart guys back in that day, if you would, and they knew that, and that's why they did what they did in the first place.
Absolutely. I think the unwillingness of those who pursue DC statehood to even compromise, because there are ways of retroceding parts of the city to Maryland, actually, instead of simply creating another state, but they're not willing to even entertain that, which makes it only the more obvious that it's simply a way to get two more senators. And, of course, that could possibly set off a chain effect, because what's to stop people from saying, well, you know what, if they're going to cut off D.C. and make it a state and get two senators, well, why not just cut South Dakota in half? Why not just start breaking up all these states so that
Great
we can
point.
Get more senators on our side?
Great point.
That's going to set off something ugly. I mean, those are the kind of things that led to our own civil war, when there's these battles over inclusion of new states that is highly charged and partisan in an already highly charged and partisan environment. And the fact they're not willing to even make some concessions on this matter, and they simply say, well, we're just going to ram this through, there's going to be no compromise, we just want a state, or else, I think really reveals the partisan nature of this and why it's so problematic.
Again, folks, we're talking to Jarrett Stepman, Daily Signal and Heritage. Jarrett, one last question along these lines, because I think, you know, tell me if I'm thinking correctly or not, but if D.C. were able to, you know, if this was able to move forward and they did, in fact, get this done and D.C. becomes a state, does that then lend power, or does it not make any difference when it comes to those folks in California that are now trying to make a new California and another state there?
I mean, it's possible that it could end up with California being broken up, too. And that, of course, will be one of the interesting parts of that, is that there could be justification.
And that's a different, conversation. What I'm asking, though, is, you know, if one were to happen, does it give, you know, some fodder or precedence, or, you know, does it help their cause in California when they're trying to separate, you know, really the conservatives from the liberals?
I think it does. Of course, Washington itself is its own special case because of the fact that it houses our federal government.
Yeah, it's not a state yet. I know it's a different conversation because it isn't a state right now, and they're trying to make it one. Where in California, it is one, and they're trying to divide it.
Right, absolutely. And I would say there's actually a much greater argument for the division of California, given the size of the state and how different it is in the vastness of a state like California. I think there's actually a much better case for that than simply turning a single city on the eastern seaboard into a state in and of itself. I mean,
one thing we should add, which is what you've already been saying, when in fact the founding fathers already said D.C. should not be a state.
That's exactly right, and I think that is a huge part of this entire issue. And again, that's part of what makes it probably not even constitutional, the idea that we're going to get rid of something that is directly in the Constitution to create a federal district and essentially getting rid of that through congressional legislation, which is what they're currently trying to do in Congress. I think it makes it dubious. Now, that won't prevent them from trying.
I
think it's a close-run thing now, given the composition that we currently have in Congress. So there's definitely a move to do this. I think ultimately it will be struck down and will be beaten. But it is interesting that this is being pushed as simply a partisan power grab, essentially to grab more votes. I think it's quite reckless.
Agreed.
I think it'll further damage the constitutional system and, of course, give more power to Washington, D.C., which certainly does not need more power.
All right, I want to throw something else at you. If you want to answer, great. If not, that's fine, too. I know we only have a lot of time left, but I just wanted to get your feedback on what it's like in D.C. You know the shooting we had here in Colorado, last week, and as we were talking, that was going on a week ago. So a question I have for you, what's the feeling in D.C. when it comes to gun control, and what do you think is going to happen along those lines? There's been all sorts of talk about, you know, Joe Biden with the pen doing some executive things, which, by the way, there's not much he can do. But what's the sentiment there after what happened here in Boulder, Colorado?
Well, I mean, D.C. is a very pro-gun control city. I think that, it's interesting, of course, crime is way up in Washington, D.C. Carjackings have become a serious problem. There was a viral video that's gone around of a two minors, essentially two young girls, who carjacked a man and essentially killed him. But, you know, we're seeing that stuff constantly. We've seen a huge uptick in crime. The Washington, D.C. itself has some of the most restrictive gun control laws in the country, and yet violence is surging in the city. I mean, his gun control has not been effective in a place like Washington, D.C., in a place where you've had some of the most maximalist laws possible. And I think this idea that we're going to solve all these issues through some kind of executive order on gun control or something along these lines, I think there are a lot of Americans who hear that, and they just think this is simply a power grab. This is simply a time that they're just kind of grab power. When most Americans think, when they see this violence, they say, you know, I want a gun for my own self-defense.
Right.
I don't think that we're going to live in a world that you can make perfect. And we see a lot of problems out there, a lot of rising crime and violence, partially due to the policies of many cities to defund their police. People think, I have to protect myself. And I think that's a very American attitude.
I agree. Jarrett, as always, I appreciate your time and a little extra time today. Daily Signal, and enjoy the weather and the great scenery you guys have there right now. And we'll talk to you next week, Jarrett.
Thank you so much.
You bet. Appreciate it very much. Again, Jarrett Stepman, Daily Signal and Heritage Foundation. Really enjoy talking to Jarrett. Very, very smart guy. You can always follow him, by the way, at either one of those platforms, Daily Signal or Heritage. Ascentel Center is up next. Dr. Julie Marchio, if you're not feeling well or just not feeling yourself, call her today and find out what she can do for you. And she'll help you in all aspects of your health. 303-343-8800.
Dr. Julie provides both the scientific methodology and the empathetic accountability you need to lose weight. You've lost the weight in the past, but as soon as you started slipping back into your old habits, you felt like a failure. Now you've gained all of that weight back, plus some more, and starting over seems pointless. Both John Rush and Dr. Julie understand the daily struggle of staying healthy. The HCG diet at Ascent Health Center trains your body to convert unnecessary fat into energy, but you also need the mental and emotional fortitude to help you stick with it long term. Something as simple as a daily text message from a qualified weight loss guide could make all the difference between another yo-yo diet and a true lifestyle change. Remember how much better you felt without the extra weight. Call Ascent Health Center now and mention Rush to Reason for 30% off your HCG diet plan. 303-343-8800.
All right, a good shop is next. We've got more weather coming in tonight. And again, not saying that accidents are going to happen because of bad weather. They can happen anytime, any place, anywhere. It's just something that happens. That's why they're called accidents. If you've been involved in any kind of an accident, though, and just knowing some of the things that we go through here in Colorado, give the guys at A Good Shop a call. They would love to help you out. It's easy to find them, klzradio.com. Don't forget about the mobile estimating app as well, so you can kind of get an idea on the front side of what you're looking at cost-wise to even get something fixed. Again, your insurance companies, plural, are going to try to drive you to different places they actually have a relationship with. And that may or may not be A Good Shop. If it's not, doesn't matter. You can go wherever you want and where you have a relationship, and that should be at A Good Shop. Again, find a location near you. It's klzradio.com or 720-541-7697.
It's time to leave your safe space. This is Rush to Reason on KLZ 560.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. And something that I just thought I'd make you aware of, kind of a public service announcement, if you would, because I didn't think about this prior to seeing this article, but you will never be asked to pay for a vaccine. You are through your tax dollars, of course, but you will not be directly asked to pay for a vaccine. So if you see someone trying to, you know, scam you, if you would, into getting a vaccine and making you pay for it, know right up front that is false. They will not ask you for payment for credit card information or anything along those lines. The FBI and the Officer of Inspector General and the Department of Health and Human Services have issued a warning about fraudulent vaccination schemes circulating through the telemarketing calls, text messages, social media platforms, and even, folks, door-to-door visits. In some cases, people have been asked to pay to get their vaccine, get it early, get access to one, or get on a prioritized waiting list. Some victims are even giving out detailed personal information used to fraudulently bill federal health care programs and commit medical identity theft. Again, I didn't know any of this was going on until reading this. Of course, it only makes sense that thieves would be out doing these sorts of things. So for those of you that are listening, it doesn't matter what your age group is, by the way. Again, they will prey most likely on those that are my age and older, but it doesn't mean anything. They can prey on anybody. If someone comes to your door talking about vaccines, if they call you on the phone talking about vaccines, if they send you an email, if you see something on social media, ignore every one of those things. You will never, these are the things to avoid, tips to avoid. You'll never be asked to pay for a vaccine, be charged for any administration costs, any copays, any co-insurance fees. You will not be denied a vaccination even if you don't have health care coverage. You will not be asked for money to reserve a spot or to jump ahead in a list for a vaccination. So I want to make sure I get that out there to a lot of you that are listening. The vaccinations are free. Okay, that's it. They're free. Some will even tell you that you have to pay to undergo additional medical testing or procedures to obtain a vaccine. That also is false. Government and state officials will not call you to obtain detailed personal information in exchange for a vaccine. Medicare will not call beneficiaries to offer COVID-19-related products or services. And similarly, anyone claiming to offer HHS grants related to COVID-19 is trying to defraud you. Do not divulge personal or financial information to anyone asking any of those things I just mentioned. Again, this is sort of a personal, you know, service announcement, if you would. Do not answer any of those things and do not give out any of your personal information along any of these lines, folks. And believe me, they will ask and try to get it from you. So we'll be right back. Pure 4 Chevrolet is up next. I was actually up in Fort Lupton yesterday, and I'm always reminded when I drive up there, it's not that far, folks. It really isn't. Pure 4 Chevrolet, literally just a few minutes up north off of Highway 85 and Highway 52. Shop online at pure4chevrolet.com or call 303-659-8311.
The team at Purifoy Chevrolet will never hold you captive or try to force you to buy a new or used vehicle. In a recent Jalopnik article, a consumer protection attorney shared stories of the ridiculous high-pressure tactics used by some auto dealers. In one extreme example, a customer was reportedly prevented from leaving by having her vehicle blocked. In another, more common situation, customers had their car keys hidden from them to keep them from leaving until they agreed to purchase a vehicle. These customers had to call the police before the dealerships would let them drive away. The team at Purifoy Chevrolet sets themselves apart simply by treating their customers with respect. They still follow the standard of customer service set by Rolly's father back in 1960. Ask about their zero-interest financing and vehicles delivered straight to your door. Purifoy Chevrolet in Fort Lupton, only a 20 to 30-minute drive from anywhere in Denver. Find them now at klzradio.com/Chevy. Find new roads.
Stay up to date with Rush to Reason after the show on Twitter at Rush to Reason and on Facebook.com/Rush to Reason.
All right, real quick, couple more things here before we end this hour when it comes to vaccinations, which, again, some of you may get them, some of you may not. I won't. But if you're interested in one, there is a vaccine finder on the CDC's website where you can actually find a local place to get a vaccine so you're not falling for any of these other things we just mentioned a moment ago. And on social media sites, do not accept any messages coming through, whether that's through Facebook Messenger or other advertisements. Text messages, do not open them. Do not open emails that talk about vaccines. You will never be contacted that way when it comes to a vaccine. Those are all individuals trying to gather information on you to steal your identity. One last thing. If you're offered to purchase a vaccination card, that is also a scam. You cannot do that. Again, that's illegal, by the way. We'll get into that maybe on a later date. Also, never share or show photos of your vaccination card if, in fact, you are vaccinated. There's personal information on there that no one else needs to know about, so do not post that to any social media site, period. All right, with that, we're going to come right back. We got another full hour, 2 hours actually coming your way. If you're listening to our replay hour, it's close to 7 o'clock of a fabulous evening. Otherwise, hour two is next. Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560.